And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Budenhagen. Huron ended up just one match this week, a win over Mitchell on Tuesday, then had their previously postponed match with Rapid City Stevens that was rescheduled for last night, canceled due to the COVID outbreak and distance learning at Stevens High School. And Coach, we'll just go right to that. Very disappointing for the girls. I know Mitchell really wanted to get their match with Stevens in, but again, as we've said so many times this year, these are the times we're living in.
Well, I know the kids are really bummed, but you know, we just, as we talked with the team, things happen for a reason, and we're just going to hope that, you know, the reasons are good. And we've got Maddie Huber that's nursing a sore back, and it actually gives her a little bit more time. You know, Kenley's ankle, it gives her a little bit more time. So in the long run, I think it's a good thing if you're looking at health, if you're looking at a standpoint where we are racing for reps and trying to get better at certain things. We've lost those reps, and I think that's where the kids know there's a sense of urgency now that we got to get better at some things, and we just lost an opportunity in a match to get better. And so we'll just have to find those avenues in practice and see if we can get a little bit better in practice.
And really, you got to look at the Stevens standpoint of this, too. Not like that they chose or wanted this to happen. And, you know, they're kind of in a jam as well. If I understand the way things work, they're basically going to come out of their two-week quarantine in time to go to the SODAC 16, unless I'm not reading everything right.
Yeah, you know, every school has a different policy, but I believe they are going to, their next match, we know, will be the SODAC 16. As far as how many practices they're going to have before that match, I'm not quite certain on. And, you know, I'm really only concerned about my gym, but you have to feel really bad for those girls and that team when they were starting to gain some momentum. And, of course, they want to play. No one is going to choose this to skip matches, especially twice. And I know that they really wanted to have a chance at us and play us. So, and play Mitchell at the same time. So, you know, they did not choose this. This was not, you know, in their strategy at all. And they, too, now are going to be missing not only their final matches, three of them, but it's that practice time as you're leading up to the playoffs that's really most concerning. And then for a lot of teams that have had to sit out because of COVID, what we're hearing, and we had two players, too, that had to go through it, to gain that momentum back and get those reps back and getting back in shape, that's really hard. That's scary. You know, so I feel bad for Stevens, but, you know, let's just hang on here and hopefully it doesn't affect a lot of other teams or many other teams. And I know we've James Valley here in town, and I feel so bad for them. And I know a lot of those kids, because if you're in volleyball club and because of Volleyball Academy, they don't get to play in their region. So this is sad. We've made it so far. You'd think that we could just make it three more weeks, but no, things are crashing down really fast, really hard on certain teams.
Well, let's talk about your Huron Tigers. The one match you did have, a three-set sweep of Mitchell last Tuesday, really blew them out in the first set. Mitchell got progressively better, but we made plays to win. And, you know, that was Breast Cancer Awareness Night. There's always a lot of outside noise, distractions, maybe more so for the coach than the team, but the girls really performed.
Well, you know, anytime you play Mitchell, we're going to be fired up, right? We've talked about that rivalry. And so, you know, our kids are ready to roll and did all the things necessary to be mentally prepared to play in that match. And, yeah, I think Mitchell, you know, made some adjustments and had a little bit of success. But at the same time, throughout the entire match, we had control of it. And we passed really well. And I was really super proud to see some improvement in our passing there. And our offense was a little bit more rhythm and we had a little bit more timing, and our middle hitters were involved, and that's key for us. If we can keep our middles involved, good things are going to happen for the Huron Tigers.
Well, 1 week left here in the 1 week left here in the regular season, and there's a lot on the line with this Brandon Valley match. Brandon Valley lost to Watertown last night, so Watertown, Brandon Valley, and Huron all have one loss in the ESD race. So whoever wins on Tuesday between Huron and Brandon gets at least a share of the ESD conference title. So obviously something to shoot for there.
Yeah, we're going to be playing for the ESD championship. And, you know, because we don't get to play teams twice or we don't get to count things twice, we're not going to say we get to share it. We're going to say that we won the ESD. And we haven't done that for a long time. So, you know, they put themselves in this position, and you know, we have talked in practice what this match means, because we have to practice now that mindset about how champions come out and play. And, you know, I don't really like the cliche that, you know, whoever wants it more is going to win, because let's face it, everybody wants it. It's a matter now of going out and making sure that we're mentally prepared and we're executing and everybody's doing their jobs and we've got, you know, positive body language and all that stuff going on that champions, you know, that's how champions act. And so this comes at a good time of the season for us. It's down to crunch time and a lot of things have been practiced, but the championship part of it necessarily hasn't been practiced. So we'll see how our kids do. And Grand Valley is a very good team. They run an offense very similar to us. You'll see them running in the three gap. They run quick. They're going to run slides. Their front line is extremely tall. And so we're going to have to make sure that we've got some smoke in the mirrors and making sure we're holding some blockers and we have a chance to get around that block or up over it. We're going to be practicing high hands here now coming up and just making sure that we're prepared for their height. And once we get it past that front line, you know, hopefully we'll have a little bit of success there too. And we also know that their defense can be very scrappy, but it's going to come down to passing and serving for us and making sure that our back line, you know, defense wins championships. And our blockers have been getting better now these last coming weeks. I'm really proud of our blockers, led by Olivia and Emily and Brooke and McKenna and Bryn and Tenley. You know, and she gets some touches up there too. And so working on the middle blocking speed has been one thing that we've been really working on. But then our littles, I think they've been progressively getting better too, and super proud of Britt Huber and Maddie and McKenna back there and Tenley and Brooke back there making the plays. So defense wins championships, and although we'd like to have a pretty salty offense, we know where really that trophy lies, and it's you know, our with our defense and how many digs and how well we can get into our offense with our passing.
You know, it's another strange thing with these days. It has nothing to do with COVID. Just when we stopped doing the round robin for ESD, you know, here we are, the end of the season. We're finally getting a look at Brandon Valley. So, you know, there's still going to be some question marks there. I believe if I'm remembering right, Brandon Valley and Yankton are the only two ESD teams that we don't play twice. But, again, go the whole season here, and well, at least it sets up nicely that way.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. It seems there's always, you know, postseason implications coming down the stretch. I, if there's one thing I could change about the schedule, and I really like the schedule that Roeder puts together for us, but I would like to have played Grand Valley maybe a little bit earlier in the season, just because you only play them once, right? And we've been seeing teams twice now for a long time, and so that would be the only thing. So they snuck up. They've been sneaking up on teams, and they're good, and Watertown now, because of their COVID incident, they're playing them back to back, or they played them back to back, played them on Tuesday and played them on Friday, and so there too there was implications because Watertown was going into those matches with only one loss. We have one loss. That's the thing too, is sometimes we coaches go into matches now, and I'm sure the basketball teams experience the same thing. We're not quite certain if it's ESC or not. Okay, so maybe we know our schedule, but we don't know the other team's schedules and what match is ESD and what isn't. That's the confusing part, and it's really hard to keep track of at times.
Well, as we look at that, I guess we'll get back to that coming up to wrap it up. But first off, we probably should have a few notes on Breast Cancer Awareness Night on Tuesday. Now, we're still not officially finished with that this year. You had the silent auction online this year that allowed you to run it longer, so that ends tonight. So still a chance to get your bids in on that. But overall, T-shirts and everything else that went through with it looked like a pretty successful evening.
It was a very nice evening, and we, you know, Heron always supports things like this so very, very well. And it was a very touching ceremony that we did. We did a modified where we didn't necessarily have the rose recipients. We had the formal rose ceremony online, and you can go watch that if you still want to. And Heron Volleyball Club on Facebook, very nice rose ceremony that you actually get to see the people who are. And we were honoring. Sometimes with our rose ceremony that happens before the matches, you have someone else accepting a rose. And so even the loved ones lost, you get to see the picture of them. For instance, like there was a couple of them, like Heaven and Isabel, their great-grandma and their grandpa that they were honoring. we got to see them when they were younger. We got to see them with their relatives. So that was really kind of cool. You know, that's something that we always talk about, is trying to put a face to the name of this disease. And then we did a modified rose ceremony too, which was very cool. But the t-shirts, there's still some left. We've got some large sizes, and we've got some really small youth sizes too. And those will be available here now at a discounted rate if you're looking for a really nice t-shirt. Or, you know, just advertising and trying to raise awareness for a cure for breast cancer.
And then, of course, that online auction does end tonight. I know I've retweeted the link a couple of times. I know you have it on your here on Volleyball Club Facebook page, but it does end tonight. So I don't know if I can stay up that late to maybe snipe something at the end, but the bottom line is you can still get a bid in.
Yeah, I don't know if I can stay up that late anymore either. But I'm certainly going to try it a few things. I got my eyes on a couple things. But, so, again, there's some really cool items. You can still bid on them. But most of all, remember that bid goes to a very good cause. Those items were donated by numerous people in this community and relatives of our players as well. And so, again, thank you so much for the support on behalf of Huron Regional Medical Center and the program. You've got it covered. I think we did a pretty good job of raising some money to stay local and help women out and families out, and just making sure that we get people taken care of that don't have the resources to do that. So it goes to a great cause, and thank you. And go check out that online auction and see if there's anything that you still want.
Okay, we'll wrap it up with this. Get back to the volleyball on the court. Hard to believe we're in the last week of the regular season. I know you and the girls are disappointed that you will not get that Stevens match in, but if you would have been told on August 15th we'd be sitting here now on Halloween, have 17 games in the books, and right now still two more on the schedule, you would have taken it.
Well, you know, the optimistic person in me was like, yeah, we're going to make this. We're going to do the right thing. I believe in the protocols that the school has, and our girls were following them. But then when you hear the scary nightmares of schools getting all these outbreaks, and we were hearing that in September, then you were starting to question it. But I do know that the Activity Association has a big commitment to make sure that we have a chance to finish the season. And it is getting a little bit of touch and go right now. And, you know, school administrators are going to have to make the decisions that they need to make. But we're so close to the finish line. And we're just asking our players to continue to mask up. We're asking our families to mask up and make sure we make good decisions. And that means there's sacrifices. I mean, there's some young ladies that haven't been able to see their grandparents. There's some coaches that haven't been able to see their grandchild. And there's some girls that just haven't been able to see just friends. There's just a lot of sacrifices that are going on. And I know that, you know, I have not chosen to go to live church. And so I've been watching that online. A lot of sacrifices to make sure that kids have a chance to play. And so I know that the kids are very appreciative. They're very grateful for this opportunity, because after the summer we knew that, you know, there might be a chance we're not playing. So we're very grateful. And I wouldn't say we're crawling to the finish line, but there's a black cloud, I'm going to say that's hanging over everybody's head, just guessing, are we going to make it or not? And there's some examples there that now that the whole thing is, you know, they're not able to play in playoffs. So we are grateful, and I firmly believe that here in Huron, we're going to make it. We're going to make it to the finish line. And so just keep telling our kids, do the right things, and let's concentrate on what we need to do. And right now, we're trying to put our concentration on what we have to do to be successful against Brainerd Valley.
Shelley Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, here on at Brandon Valley on Tuesday, and then home against Pierre to wrap up the regular season on Thursday. The Brandon Valley match on Tuesday for Huron, at least. Get a win, you get a piece of the ESD Conference Championship for volleyball here in 2020. Of course, we'll have both matches on the air on Tiger 95. Here on Tiger Football, up next, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're going to talk here on Tiger Football with head coach Scott Spanton, here on the long road trip out west, but came back with a victory in the first round of the AA playoffs, defeating the Sturgis Scoopers 20-14. And coach, obviously, we were one play away from actually having a shutout, but a penalty gave Sturgis life. They did end up scoring twice there down the end, but we're able to cover two onside kicks and able to pull it out.
Yes, sir. It's one of those deals where, being up 20-0 and the situation we were in, we still got to finish games. Obviously, we didn't do that as well as we should have. Like you said, some inopportune penalties that continue to drive on a fourth and short. But, again, we just got to do a better job overall of finishing things and not letting them have a breath of air. And you got to give them credit, though, too. They made some plays where the quarterback threw a nice ball on the sideline down there for the touchdown. And so you got to give them credit. Some of those are just execution-wise, but other than that, we should have been able to put them away, and we kind of let them hang around and made things interesting at the end. Happy for the kids. Again, that's three now that they, won in a row, so we got the momentum that we wanted to going into this game against Brookings. So, those are, again, confidence boosters. So we feel good about that, but we also knew that we left some things out there that we needed to fix this week in practice. And we know that the caliber of competition goes up, playing the number one team in the state. So we got to be, hitting on all cylinders and not make some of those silly mistakes.
Well, you go over to the first half. We scored the only touchdown of the first half, and one of those, I'd rather be lucky than good plays. A deep pass to Max Kranzler. Actually, the Sturgis D-back makes a nice play, tips it away, but two things happened on that play to me. One, Cade had all kinds of time to throw. The protection was there. And two, Juan Urena, he could give up on the play and watch. He kept running his route, got the tip, and scored.
Yes, sir. That was one of those deals where, it was nice to see some luck and good fortune go our way. If you want to break it down, it wasn't exactly where he did a good job, Juan did, of trailing the play, because his route that he was supposed to run, he should have been nowhere near that, but I think what he saw was the fact that the ball was being thrown, so he decided to get down the field, and as it worked out, it's a good thing that he did, because like you said, the DB made a nice tip on the ball, and Juan just happened to be in the right place at the right time and took it to the house. And we needed that. How we started off gave us a little bit of shot of momentum and get up, and that's what we wanted to do, or try to do, was try to get up on them early, and then again get a two-possession game, and then from there, see how it plays out. But so that was a big play. But like I said, it was nice to see the ball bounce our way for a change.
And really defensively, until 4 minutes to go in the game, we were pitching the shutout. And granted, they did have a few opportunities to score. For instance, Ryan James, who just seems to be in the right place on defense. He gets the interception in the end zone there in the first half. Defense up there till 4 minutes to go, and the unfortunate penalty that allowed Sturgis to keep some life. Defensively, second straight week, he had to be happy.
Right. I thought we did a pretty good job of holding them in check, because they had some weapons. We changed, we did some things in the secondary to number 13 side. So I thought we held him pretty well in check other than the reverse pass. But, again, you got to give him credit. Made a good throw and a good catch.
It looked like we had it covered.
Right. And other than that, the long one late in the game, again, pretty good position, defensively. Just, the quarterback, again, give him credit, threw a dime, and they made a play. But as you said, all that stuff could have been somewhat preventable if we had just taken care of, making a little better decisions here and there. And we had them fourth and short, and they get a penalty and continues to drive, and that's where the momentum started to slide back a little bit in their favor.
One thing I noticed, too, and I don't know if I remember seeing this a lot this year, we deflected a lot of passes Thursday night. It had to be at least three or four, most of them in the second half.
Yeah, it goes back to, not only coverage guys, but linebackers, because we were actually, we went into it maybe trying to stunt a little bit more than what we had in the past. But, again, those guys, when they can't get to them, they try to get their hands up and deflect or knock down balls. So I thought we did a good job of that as well. We were fortunate in some situations where they had some difficulty catching the ball at times. So, again, it was nice to see some of those things go our way this game. Actually, we needed it, when it came down to the end. So, because they actually had one in the end zone they dropped as well. So we felt pretty fortunate. We wanted to finish it better than what we did. But the bottom line is, again, we got the W and moving forward exactly what we had hoped for. So we just got to put that one and learn from it, and try to get better this week going into the Brookings game.
And offensively, we've been hit and miss on the run game all year, and missing a little bit there on Thursday night. We're very efficient in the pass game. Our quarterbacks were 16-17. Cade McNeil was 15-16, and then the other completion was to him on the play there when we got our last touchdown. And a lot of short passes outside of the deflected one we talked about, but again, playing within yourself, the plays were there, and Cade was on target.
Right, he did a nice job of taking what they gave us, and that's partly why, you know, we did some of the things we did, as far as we realized there are some situations where they're off a little bit in coverage. So Kay did a nice job delivering the ball on time and getting it to our receivers and allowing them a chance to run after the catch. You know, Max Kranzler made a couple incredible catches on the sideline. So, you know, throwing the football, when you go 16 for 17, you can't complain about that. And a lot of those were short, high completion percentage. And so we did a great job of that. We got to continue to do that this week. But, you know, the running game, we were struggling a little bit, getting behind the chains, but also – you know, they lined up a few ways where, you know, we weren't real, you know, at an advantage numerically wise. So it causes some issues there. But overall, you know, like I said, we threw the ball with a high efficiency rate. We got to continue that again this week.
Then two other things I want to spotlight on the Sturgis game. First off, the final touchdown. You throw a backwards pass from Cade McNeil to Dylan Lichty, the backup quarterback, and then Cade, basically it was a screen over there on the other side. Cade showed some of the nifty running he can do, and if I understood you right, we didn't quite have the right personnel out there, but it still worked at the end.
Right, we had a little mishap on personnel all week. You know, when we worked on that particular play, we had a certain personnel package, and so we had to kind of throw a guy out there late, and then the rule is you got to get inside the numbers when you come off the sideline, so we had to get him adjusted. And you know, we're just hoping we can get it off with the clock running down, you know, the 40-second clock. And so we did a nice job. We've worked on that for a couple of weeks now and had it in the bag, so we wanted to try to get it out of the bag. And as far as execution wise, we hadn't even executed it that well in practice, so we did a pretty good job, you know, Dylan getting the ball back to Cade, and I had the perfect, you know, angle where the lineman did an outstanding job of setting the wall, and then it was just a tunnel for Cade all the way to the end zone.
Then the other one I wanted to bring up, and he was our first National Bank player of the game, and that was Colby Hodd. His punting in the first half really saved us. You know, we weren't moving the ball. We didn't have a very good field position game going the entire first half, but he had a couple of 40-yard punts. He had one that went over his head, and he had the presence of mind, gathered in, kicked. It was ended up being a 15-yard punt, but that's better than blocked or tackled at the 10-yard line.
Right. I thought he did an outstanding job. I mean, based upon a few of the snaps, but also just, as you mentioned, the presence of mind, especially on the one that sailed over his head, to turn around and still have the composure to be able to get the punt off. You know, just to get us out of that situation was outstanding. So that's why we voted him special teams player of the week. So that was huge, and being able to not only flip the field sometimes, but again, just, you know, create situations that could have been worse. He got us out of that just by, again, having good judgment and getting the ball out quick, because he gets it off quickly. So that's a good thing too.
Well, we look ahead. It's undefeated Brookings, the top seed. We opened the season with them. That seems like a lifetime ago, and it has been over two months. But they're 10-0. They got that bull of a fullback who's I won't even call him a fullback. He does everything. I am still not sure how to pronounce it, but he announced this past week he's a preferred walk-on at South Dakota State, so he's going to try some D1 football. They have a lot of weapons. They do a lot of good things.
Right, they're in the position they're in for a reason. They're a very good football team on both sides of the football. They're big, they're physical. Now with the addition of those two from, you know, moving in, it just makes them even more dangerous. You know, the running back, we know going into it, the first game that we, you know, we didn't know a whole lot about what they were going to do. So now hopefully, you know, looking at a few videos of them, we have a better understanding how they're going to utilize him. But they also have other weapons, but we've got to be able to tackle him well, everybody for that matter, but especially him, because he is so strong, especially his lower body. He's a big kid, very physical, so we got to be able to do a good job of getting low on him and limiting, again, the big plays. I thought we did that the first game, other than a couple on the kickoff return, but you know, they utilize him in a few different ways, getting him the ball, you know, it's no secret. They're going to try to run the rock and pound us and keep their offense on the field. And then, you know, we got to do the opposite. We got to be able to get them off the field and get our offense on the field, because we feel pretty good about our opportunities in which to throw the football. That's where we had most of our success the first game. We got to be able to do both, but that's something that we'll, you know, get straightened out this week and get a game plan and go over there and try to execute at the highest level and play 48 minutes of football.
You know, and just one other thing, we'll talk about Brookings later on here next week, but, we had two fumbles on Thursday night, fumbles lost, and then a couple of key penalties. Those are the things we just can't do next week.
Right, we spoke about the little things, and sometimes those little things add up to be big things, so we've got to do a better job of ball security. That's a few weeks in a row now that we put it on the ground too many times. Just got to take more care of the football in some situations, and you know, some of those penalties that are obviously preventable, we just got to quit doing those things to, again, put us behind the chains and in situations that all season long, we haven't been great at. We've been in third and longs quite a bit, and our conversion rate hasn't been what it should be, but we got to quit putting ourselves in those situations and, you know, give ourselves a better opportunity to continue to move the chains during the course of the game.
Now we'll wrap it up, and two things I didn't tell you I was going to bring up, but we'll just bring them up now. A couple of, you know, cool things I think that the kids responded to. First off, on Monday, assistant coach Drew Strand and his wife Tatiana had a baby girl, Noxie Moon. Always nice when, you know, old guys like this, we see young guys like that, and that's good for you.
Right. We've had a lot going on as far as our coaching staff this year, and that's one of the good news ones as far as congratulations to them. I know they were very excited about having their little baby girl, and everything's going well with the mother and the baby. That's always good to see. And then on the flip side, you know, spoke with Coach Sorda. He came out to practice on, I believe it was
Wednesday.
Spoke to the kids afterwards, reassured them that he's doing fine. He's got to lay low again, though, he's still heavily involved in the game planning part of it. We keep in touch with him, so. Yeah, we've had a lot of going on, you know, with our coaching staff, but we've done a pretty good job adapting to those situations, and so we just got to continue again, you know, get ready for a great football game this week against a great caliber football team. So we got the opportunity we wanted, and that is to be where we want to be now. It's a great opportunity for us. So, again, we got to play 48 minutes of mistake-free and be able to execute at a high level.
You're in Tiger football coach Scott Spanton here on in the semifinals of 11AA for a third consecutive year. They will visit Brookings next Friday night, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock with the kickoff on Tiger 95. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Of course, South Dakota sports history coming up shortly. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.